The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears in rain.
Coming to you from the frustrated incorporated compound overlooking the beautiful Arizona Bay, this is Inconclusive Breakdown. I'm your host, Justin, joined as always by Skeets the Wonder Dog and Vince.
What it is.
What a week, sir.
Yeah.
Especially if your last name's Cuomo.
You get that magical third person or fourth person to come out yet?
We'll talk about that a little later. Hippity hoppity, oh boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coming up on this week's show, we'll talk Dr. Seuss, Pepe Le Pew, Cuomo, DC's Infinite Frontier, NXT, and much more. Top 10 list this week, TV miniseries, and of course, we will answer your listener questions. You ready for your Obama money? That's coming.
I'm getting Obama money?
Well, they technically say it's Biden money, but...
What about Obama phone?
Well, people still have the Obama phones, but everybody thinks it's free money, but there's no such thing as free money, but meh. Just buy ammo when you can.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to get into TV news?
Sure.
Fine.
Gosh.
CW has already renewed Superman and Lois for a second season. Not really any surprise there, as this was their highest rated debut in years. Like, years and years. So, good with that. Last week, apparently, was the Golden Globes.
Really?
And it looks like NBC might be questioning that $60 million a year they're paying to broadcast it that they signed back in 2018, because the final numbers are in and they are limbo stick rolling on the ground low. Lacking an NFL lead-in, the semi-virtual and controversy-mired Tina Fey and Amy Poehler-hosted ceremony snagged a 1.5 rating among adults 18 to 49. 6.9 million viewers. That's an all-time low in the demo. Only the 2008 show, which was strictly a press conference because of that year's writer's strike, did worse.
I didn't even know it was on.
And that's what you get. So, yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know it was on. I don't even think, did they say anything?
Oh, yeah, they plugged and plugged them. Yeah, all types of ads and shit.
Well, see, and this is,
nobody cares. Nobody cares
anymore, so
yeah,
that's really what it comes down to. I haven't watched TV in forever.
Yeah,
so apparently they did have that shit and nobody gave a fuck.
And yeah, 6.9 million. You know what gets better ratings than that? AEW gets better ratings in that demo than the Golden Globes. So I find that highly hilarious.
Now, I heard they had said some shit to where they were insulting people or something? Or?
They were insulting the Hollywood Foreign Press, which it's actually the Hollywood Foreign Press's award show, because there's not enough black people or women or this or that. It's not diverse enough, the Hollywood Foreign Press. So they were speaking out against the people whose show they were getting paid to host and accept awards from. And yeah, it was hilarious. Just terrible people.
God damn, man.
Yeah. Well, we have this news. The Chucky TV series from Child's Play creator Don Mancini. We now have casting. Devon Sawa from Final Destination will be on the show. Zachary Arthur from Transparent. Tio Briones from Ratcheted. Bjorgen Arneson.
Bjorgen.
Durka.
Mork.
Aliva Alin Lid from Young and Restless. They will play your four young leads. Brad Dourif will reprise his role as the voice of Chucky, and Jennifer Tilly will be back as Tiffany Valentine.
Oh my.
So there you go.
Vince, who was the other Tilly sister? You didn't
find
out?
No.
Well, there was Jennifer Tilly, and then there was the other one,
Meg Tilly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Meg was better looking.
Yeah. Turner and Hooch.
No.
You remember the old Tom Hanks movie?
No.
Well, Disney Plus, we had this story a long time ago. We're getting a series. New Turner, new Hooch. But somebody from the original is coming back. Carl Hooch. Winslow, bitches.
You serious?
Reginald Vell Johnson, who co-starred in the 89 film, will reprise his role as David Sutton, who will now be the mayor for the upcoming Turner and Hooch sequel series on Disney Plus. At least he's getting work. That makes me happy. But he's not a cop, so that's weird.
I wish they'd just bring back goddamn old reruns of Family Matters.
I'm sure some channel has them, but I don't know what.
BET.
Bat or Bounce. One of those two.
No way.
Might be. I don't know. Nickelodeon has ordered, if you got the kids there, 13 episodes of The Patrick Starr Show. Patrick Starr Show, Billy Fagerbake, the longtime voice of Patrick, will be doing it. The rest of his family is there, constantly disrupted by Patrick's wild whims and surreal imagination. So there you go. You're getting a Patrick Starr Show. Hey, it's something to sit your kids in front of and...
They don't watch that shit no more.
That's true. Just weeks ahead of The Simpsons' 700th episode, for some unknown reason, Fox has renewed for two more seasons.
Why?
So you're getting season 33 and season 34, ensuring that it will run through at least 2023 and that the series will surpass 750 total episodes.
Jesus, let that fucking show die already.
Hasn't been funny since Mr. Plow. You kind of hit your peak.
Yeah, you're done.
We now have the complete celebrity guest host list for Jeopardy. Katie Couric, Dr. Oz, A.A. Ron Rogers, Anderson Vanderbilt Cooper, Savannah Guthrie from the Today Show, Mayim Bialik, Bill Whitaker from 60 Minutes, and CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta. The only one that actually seems that it'd be worth watching is old A.A. Ron there. So
I'm not
watching everything else. Everything else sounds terrible.
I thought they were supposed to get LeVar Burton to do it.
I think he might be permanent host. I think they might be leaning towards him as permanent host, which I would be okay with. Last thing for TV news. First, they came for Mr. Potato Head. Then Dr. Seuss last week and Dr. Seuss this week, which we'll talk about. Now they're going after Looney Tunes, and then more specifically, Pepe Le Pew. New York Times columnist, this is his legit real name, I looked it up, Charles Blow, giggity giggity, doubled down on his assertion that Pepe Le Pew, quote, normalized rape culture on Saturday following right-wing backlash to an op-ed he wrote in the New York Times earlier this week, which first called out the Warner Brothers created cartoon skunk's behavior. He said right-wing blogs are mad. Well, actually, he did this in apparently shorthand because a columnist doesn't know how to use English. Right-wing blogs are mad because I said Pepe Le Pew added to rape culture. Let's see. He grabs, kisses a girl stranger repeatedly without consent against her will. She struggles mightily to get away from him, but he won't release her. He locks a door to prevent her from escaping. This helped teach boys that no didn't really mean no and that it was part of the game. The starting line of a power struggle. It taught overcoming a woman's strenuous, even physical objections was normal, adorable, and funny. They didn't even give the woman the ability to speak. First of all, it wasn't a woman, it was a cat.
I thought they were making fun of French people.
Yeah, that too. Second of all, if you're dumb enough to let cartoons and TV in general raise your kids, then you're a dipshit. I grew up on Tom and Jerry, but I didn't go around smacking people in the head with a frying pan.
We need to now, though.
But now I kind of wish I did and could. Those were the good old days. So yeah, now Pepe Le Pew's a rapist.
Yeah, even though now there's actual shows about rape.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's all they do is
you can have
rape.
A documentary about an 8-year-old wanting a sex change. That's okay. But fucking Pepe Le Pew and Looney Tunes is bad now. Kiss
What's
my
that show,
ass.
That show Killing Eve? Well, she just cut. She cuts guys' dicks off.
Oh, of course, that's perfectly fine. That's women's empowerment.
Right. Yeah. Buy ammo.
Buy ammo. That's what it is.
Just fucking buy ammo. I don't know what else to say at this point.
Optics, firearms, and ammo. That's all. Yeah. Food and water and yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go to movie news this week. It looks like we're getting a new character for The Rock's Black Adam movie. It looks like they are casting for Dr. Fate. The film will introduce a version of the Justice Society of America, DC's original superhero team. They have already cast Aldous Hodge as Hawkman, Noah Centineo as Atom Smasher, and Quintessa Swindell as Cyclone. Dr. Fate will also reportedly have a role. Some people thought that Marwan Kenzari was playing that, but he is not.
What the fuck did you say to me?
Probably something in Arabic. In addition, they are looking for a young Teth Adam and his father. This would be for the Rock flashback. Let's see. They're looking for someone to play a magician described as powerful and being prepared to do what they must to protect the world. That pretty much sums up Dr. Fate, given that the movie will show Black Adam's ancient origin and include the Justice Society, both of which Dr. Fate was a part of. So.
And this is like the build-up for Shazam, right?
Yes. This is the build-up for the next Shazam. So, I'm good with that. Dr. Fate's a great character if they do it right. He was done fantastically on Justice League, the animated. So, did you have Sony's PlayStation movie and video TV thing for video game news?
No.
All right. Sony's PlayStation Group is throwing in the towel in its digital movie and TV transactional VOD business. At the end of August this year, the PlayStation Store will stop offering movie and TV show purchases and rentals due to PlayStation users adopting free and subscription streaming video services. So, there you go.
Good?
Yeah, probably.
That shit was expensive anyway.
Was it?
Yeah.
Mike Mignola, comic book artist known for creating Hellboy, is going to get his own feature-length documentary titled Mike Mignola Drawing Monsters. Will be feature-length and include interviews with Mignola, as well as interviews with Neil Gaiman, Hellboy actor Doug Jones, Steven Universe creator Rebecca Sugar, Victor LaValle from The Ballad of Black Tom, and a bunch of comic book artists, including Joe Quesada. Filming on the project is expected to continue this fall and winter, and Drawing Demons is expected to debut in spring of 2022. Kind of interested in seeing that one.
It'd be kind of cool.
So, yep. I'm kind of... This next story's got me hopefully optimistic. Derek Kolstad, the screenwriter behind the John Wick series, is teaming up with Amazon to develop a live-action movie based on the iconic Japanese action horror manga, Helsing. For those that don't know, Helsing reimagines Dracula as Alucard, a special agent bound to the Helsing organization under leadership of Integra Helsing, the great-granddaughter of Abraham Van Helsing, to aid in their mission to protect England and the world from vampires, ghouls, and other supernatural threats. The manga also focuses on Helsing's newest recruit, a female ex-police officer named Saris Victoria. This is the guy that's wrote the John Wick stuff, so, like I said, hopefully optimistic on this one.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. There was a little bit of kerfluffle on the social media interwebs there, because the new Space Jam movie debuted the new Lola Bunny look. They have completely desexualized the character, and that sparked debate on social media. Basically, they got rid of her curves. So,
she doesn't have a big ass anymore?
Nope. No curves at all.
It's surprising. I mean, it is really geared toward...
Kids, yeah.
No, I wasn't going to say kids.
You were saying furries. I know what you're talking about.
No, I wasn't going to say furries either, but hey, whatever.
Yeah. Dynamite Entertainment has announced that Mike the Pike Productions and its subsidiary Arowana Media have acquired the worldwide film, TV, and digital media rights and are working on a new feature film adaptation of the iconic comic book character Vampirella.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
She won't be sexualized, will she?
Ah, well, I don't know how you do that character without it being, so.
Watch and learn.
Oh, yeah, watch and learn. So, last thing for movie news this week. Vince, more castings for the D&D movie.
Oh, God damn it.
Sophia Lillis has joined the cast, as well as Hugh Grant. And it looks like Hugh Grant will be the villain. So he is our new Jeremy Irons. It's got to be a British guy, ain't it?
Where's what's his name? Mangione or whatever. Sophia Varga. Yeah.
Oh,
Sophia,
Joe Manganiello?
Yeah, Joe Manganiello, yeah.
He needs to be in this movie.
Yeah.
As Archon. He just needs to be his own character, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
man. We just fixed your D&D movie. There you go. All right, let's go to comic book news this week. With Infinite Frontier Zero out this week, DC Comics has announced a new 6-issue summer event, and it goes by the name Infinite Frontier. The new era for DC Comics post-Future State will continue on June 22nd with Infinite Frontier number 1. This will be written by Joshua Williamson, art by Hermanico, and covers by Mitch Gerads, which is awesome. The series will explore DC's rapidly expanding multiverse in the summer event. Alan Scott, Green Lantern from Justice Society of America, has noticed some of his allies are still missing in action, and he's determined to find them. There are others, though, that would rather remain hidden than explain themselves, like Roy Harper, a.k.a. Arsenal, a man that should be dead, but is not. He came back from the dead. Plus, what does this mean for DCU's place in the multiverse? On opposite sides of a dimensional divide, both Barry Allen and President Superman ponder this question. Not to mention the dark side of it all. Dark side's bad guy.
How did he get to be president?
I don't know yet. I don't know. There's also a new team of multiversal heroes called Justice Incarnate. So this is going to kind of explain out from there. Tying into DC's Infinite Frontier, they have announced a new Supergirl 8-issue series titled Woman of Tomorrow that will be launching in June. This will be written by former Batman scribe Tom King. Bilkis Evely, who did the art for Sandman Universe The Dreaming, is going to do art. So Tom King writes really well if it's a contained story. Like he did the Vision 12-issue series was amazing. Omega Men was amazing. Mr. Miracle was fantastic. Adam Strange has been a little shaky, but so he does in his run on Batman. I thought it was good. So we'll see. And after DC announced their Infinite Frontier summer event, Marvel said, well, if you can do that, we can do pretty much the same thing, but with a different name. They announced Infinite Destinies, their big summer event. Teaser art included Spider-Man, anti-hero Black Cat, with the Infinity Gauntlet. And also, another teaser art had Thanos with Mjolnir, but Mjolnir was laced with the Infinity Stones. So, I don't know.
So Disney can't come up with anything new. They just have to steal it from fucking DC.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly right. San Diego Comic-Con this year announced once again it will go virtual for 2021, but a smaller in-person convention could take place in November, but that's California, and your governor is a cock goblin, so I wouldn't hold your breath on that.
Oh, no, maybe you should hold your breath. Maybe you can get in.
No, that's true. I ain't wearing a mask. Fuck that. Coming up for Captain America's 80th anniversary, we are getting Steve Rogers, John Walker, Bucky Barnes, and Sam Wilson all in one book. It comes out in June, brand new limited series called The United States of Captain America. We'll celebrate the character's legacy by bringing together various Captain Americans from throughout the years for a grand adventure to find Captain America's missing shield and solve the mystery of its masked thief's plans. Looks like, yeah, exactly. looks like this will be out on June the 2nd with the first issue. So
jinkies.
Pretty much, Scoob. Marvel's Cable series, based on that character, looks like it will be ending in June with issue 12. And speaking of Marvel stealing ideas from DC, Marvel's doing their Heroes Reborn deal, and they have a new thing for Gwen Stacy, aka Spider-Gwen, who will now, we're getting Night Gwen issue 1, that comes in June. Gwen Stacy is the new superhero Nightbird. During the day, Dr. Gwendolyn Stacy is Ravencroft's most prominent psychiatrist. However, by night, she's transformed into a high-flying vigilante known to all as Nightbird. This will explain how she became a hero in this alternate reality. And all this, and the character art, they basically just mashed together DC's Nightwing and Batgirl costume and said, here's our Marvel version. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Disney, so, come on.
Yeah. They don't care about the books. They just want the movie and TV stuff. All right. Your recommendations for books that came out this week. Berserker, issue 1. This is that Keanu Reeves book that he wrote. And pretty much it's him as the main character, art-wise. So that came out this week. Transformers Beast Wars issue 2, Demon Days X-Men issue 1, Dungeons and Dragons at the Spine of the World issue 4, DC's Infinite Frontier Zero. This is a one-shot. This kind of gets you to where, here's where the DC Universe is right now. Starting point. Crime Syndicate number 1. This is the Justice League from Earth 2, and they're all evil. So that series starts out with issue 1. Batman issue 106, Suicide Squad relaunched with a new issue 1, and Book of the Week, Swamp Thing number 1. This will be a 10 issue series, so there you go for that. All right, let's move on to wrestling news. There are reports coming out that WWE NXT show looks like it's going to be moving to Tuesdays, starting on April 13th. This has not been confirmed, but it has been multiply reported by pretty much anybody that knows. So, at least they won't have to go up against AEW anymore. For people that had questions about the WWE Network moving to Peacock, here are some answers. WWE Network will be available in Peacock starting March 18th. And Peacock will become the exclusive streaming home in April. With an upgrade to Peacock Premium, you can stream pretty much everything. If you upgrade to Peacock Premium, $4.99 a month, you'll get every pay-per-view, all the on-demand, documentaries, favorite shows from the archives, all that stuff like that. So it looks like they're lowering the price because it was like $10 basic tier. Now it's going to be $5 on Peacock. So
do we have that? Do I have that?
It's an app, so maybe.
I don't know if we're paying for it or not, because I think we have that.
Well, I don't know if there's normal, there might be normal Peacock, and then you get the premium for $5 a month, and you'll be able to get WWE Network. So
I don't want that.
I know.
I don't want that.
I know.
I think we had it for Psych.
That makes sense. There's a pineapple in every scene.
Yeah, and Well, not every scene, but every episode.
Every episode, yeah. Reports of the National Wrestling Alliance dying are false. The NWA is not folding. Instead, they have announced their next special called Back for the Attack. Will be March 21st on the Fight Network and pay-per-view. So it will be interesting to see who all they still have under contract, as many of their talent left during the pandemic and have went to different organizations, mostly AEW. So, following the launch of the current Marvel Lucha Libre campaign and their co-promotion with AAA in Mexico, Vince is kind of in your territory. They revealed during an interview, General Manager of Walt Disney Company in Mexico announced plans for the entertainment giant They're doing a Marvel Lucha Libre video game.
That sounds awful.
That's pretty much all they said. So.
I'm sorry. That doesn't.
And that was through Google Translate. So, Lisa, no.
That sounds so bad.
It's got to be better than the last WWE game. That's all, but I got to say about
those that. Are all bad, though. Who's doing it? Do you know who's doing it?
They all they said is, yes, we're getting a video game out. So, I don't know.
Sweet Jesus.
Yep. WWE on-air talent Kayla Braxton has deleted or deactivated her Twitter account after announcing she was bisexual late this one night this week. She took to Twitter and said she's over having to choose her ethnicity and sexual orientation, and then announced she is bisexual. So, and then she deactivated or deleted her Twitter. I don't know, and I don't care. It's an adult in their own bedroom. I could give a care less. So, we did have the story last week that former NWA owner Jim Crockett Jr. was very ill in the hospital. Sadly, this week he did pass away. So, next story here: Martin Cassius, aka Marty the Moth from Lucha Underground, is now training at Cody Rhodes and QT Marshall's Nightmare Factory in Georgia. Marty is coming back from rupturing two vertebrae in his neck. Yeah, he did it on a live stream picking up his dog. It just snap and it happened type of deal. But he's been doing his rehab and kind of streaming on his Twitch channel, and he's back to where he wants to get back in the ring and see what he can do, if he can still go or not. So, good for him. Coming off the heels of Kelly Klein's lawsuit story we had last week, Joey Mercury is the latest pro wrestling talent to fire up the independent contractor versus employee debate in a lawsuit he has now filed against Ring of Honor. The former agent and trainer makes strong claims that his former place of employment in the suit includes disregard for talent safety. Mercury filed a suit in the state of Maryland against Ring of Honor and Sinclair Broadcasting, who is the parent company, claiming that he was an employee rather than an independent contractor during his time at the company, a tenure that spanned from May of 2018 to October of 2019. The suit also claims that he was forced to resign due to the company's lack of concern for talent, and that his increased workload for the company without a commensurate increase in pay. Maryland has some of the strongest worker laws in the nation, so this will be very interesting to see how this plays out in court. Because he was not in-ring talent. He was not on-air talent. He was a trainer, and he was an agent putting together matches, and he was basically a recruiter trying to find talent for Ring of Honor. He's saying, I was doing all this work for Ring of Honor, making nowhere near as much as I would have made for any other wrestling company that had a TV deal. So, we'll see. This next story is kind of fucked, because this apparently people listen to our show, we know this guy, and have worked with this guy here. New Jersey-based pro wrestling owner named Colin West, a.k.a. Patrick Shea, has been outed as a pedophile child molester by people that worked with him. It should be noted that his date of conviction was 1999, so this is not a recent charge or conviction. Companies usually run background checks, but apparently nobody knew this one. It came out this week. When this came out, he was immediately dropped by IWTV and other media outlets, and multiple talent came out online saying, this was hidden from us, we had no fucking idea, I'm ashamed, the whole situation. So, hopefully he'll get dropped out of a fucking helicopter.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, what I said it out fuck? Loud, I don't give a fuck. Sad news here, Cauliflower Alley announced that 1960s and 70s NWA star Buddy Colt sadly passed away this week at the age of 81. Next story here, the Wrestling Observer is reporting a story that it's making its way around saying the WWE is fining talent now that slapped their thigh when throwing a kick to make sound effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, company officials sent out a memo to NXT talents about this thigh slapping, and nobody has said anything about it since, but apparently now certain talent are being threatened with a fine.
Slapping their own thighs?
Yeah, when you throw a kick, you slap your thigh to make the sound of the kick hitting.
Yeah.
So, Apparently, that's now a no-no.
Why?
Kind of like calling the championship belt a belt. That's a no-no as well. Because Vince McMahon's old, crazy, and has a bunch of weird-ass rules that only he understands. Last thing for wrestling news this week, again coming from The Observer. Apparently, there are plans to introduce NXT Women's Tag Team titles. Report doesn't mention any additional details on when the titles will be implemented, but it is indeed part of the current plans with the company. A company that absolutely has no earthly idea how to properly use tag teams. So, sure, throw some more belts out there for them. That'll work.
This is WWE, right?
Yeah. The other company, AEW, actually knows how to use tag teams. It's weird.
That's all right. All of WWE is going to go to AEW anyway, so.
It's what Big Show did. His new shirt looks like shit. I just got to get that out there because it says no more BS, like Big Show. It's bad. So, yeah, that was it for wrestling news. Vince, how are video games this week?
Bad. Apparently Friday, Ubisoft announced that Watch Dogs Legion's online mode on PC has been delayed indefinitely.
Oh, that's not good.
Due to serious bugs that need to be fixed. Some parts of multiplayer on console will be delayed too due to all the bugs. So apparently you can't make a video game anymore with all the fucking bugs in it.
Well, everybody's trying to rush shit.
Well, I think for what they want in it.
Right.
You know, they tell people, oh, it's going to do this, 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 and this, and then it doesn't deliver.
Right. They're over-promising.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yep.
Troy Levitt, the game developer at the center of controversy last month after it was discovered he had run a reactionary YouTube channel focused on attacking feminism and social justice, has resigned from his position at Avalanche Software. The developers of the upcoming Harry Potter game, Hogwarts Legacy.
You mean somebody had their own opinion? What?
Yeah, over feminism and...
the death of Western culture?
Yeah, and social justice. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
It ain't right if you're white.
Yeah, boy, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know about having your own opinion on shit, right?
Sorry, I interrupted your black power party. Yeah.
Oh, my. Holy shit, what the fuck?
I don't know.
No, it's fine. NBC News hasn't fucking updated this shit.
According to NBC, everything is Trump's fault. Every cloud in the sky, every harsh gust of wind.
Well, you know.
Is blaming on Trump.
The Division 2 will get a brand new game mode in late 2021. At the earliest, agent progression will be a big focus on the next update. I like the first one, but you have to have you have to play with somebody else.
Oh, it you really needs to go up.
Yeah, you can't just go in by yourself. It's a pain in the ass.
Just make good single player games. Not everybody wants to do the online play with multiple people. Some people just want to sit, stare at the screen, play by themselves, and tune out the world.
Well, apparently Valheim is still continuing to blow up, so
good.
If I learned to talk.
It's early.
It's very early. That's all I got.
Well, I actually have a video game story this week.
Oh shit.
You may be interested in this. I tried to send you the link, but me and technology don't work good.
I get it.
At the end of 2019, the president of Wizards of the Coast, Chris Cox, said there were 7 or 8 games based on D&D in the works. We know about Baldur's Gate 3 and Dark Alliance. Now, thanks to a tweet from Hidden Path Entertainment, we know about one more. The creator of the Defense Grid series, as well as a co-developer of CSGO and Age of Empires 2, posted a series of job listings, saying we're in development on a AAA third-person open-world fantasy RPG that will be taking place inside the Dungeons & Dragons franchise. This was backed up by its project narrative director, Whitney Beltran, who has written for games like State of Decay 2 and Beyond Blue. As for what kind of RPG it's going to be, the job listings mention Unreal Engine 4, and the writer position calls for voice dialogue writing skills, narrative branching skills, as well as experience with strong ensemble casts. Sure sounds like the stuff you'd expect in a big budget RPG with party companions. Open world D&D game?
Oh, yeah. Skyrim 2.0.
Tiefling Barbarians. Wait, what?
Shit.
Nobody wants to play that. You know, charisma's a dump stat. Can we just admit that?
Shut up. Chris Pine, come on.
Chris Pine, you idiot. All right, let's go to music news this week. Apparently, it's been a good couple weeks for Jay-Z.
He's got 99 problems.
Well, apparently, he's got a lot more money now. He reached a deal to sell half of his premium champagne brand to luxury goods giant LVMH. He has reached yet another deal to sell his main business venture, the music streaming app Tidal. Tidal has agreed to be taken over by Square, the payment company, which is owned by Twitter's Jack Dorsey. In a statement, guess how much they're paying for it?
I can only imagine.
$300 million.
Jeez, oh Pete.
In a mix of cash and stock to acquire a significant majority ownership. The rest of the remaining minority stock stake will be held by Tidal's artist shareholders. So, Twitter Jack just spent $300 million to Jay-Z to buy Tidal.
Shit.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Got to have that Chinese money spent somehow.
Fucking white supremacy, though, am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, it's that poor privilege, poor underprivileged black man.
Yeah, I know. What the fuck?
Yeah. Sad news this week, Bunny Wailer, founding member of Bob Marley's Wailers Band, a legendary reggae singer whose career reached across 7 decades, died early on Tuesday. No cause of death was cited, but he had been in poor health since suffering a second stroke last July. So, Vince, this last music story is a mix of music and movies, and is just for you.
Oh my.
We are getting an official Jeff Buckley biopic. Co-produced by the late musician's mother.
Yeah, his mom. God damn.
Reeve Carney, who appeared in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, Penny Dreadful, and more, will star as Buckley in Everybody Here Wants You.
No shit.
The film has support from Buckley's estate and will be able to feature his music. This will be the only official dramatization of Jeff's story, which I can promise his fans will be true to him and his legacy, his mother said in a statement. Thankfully, my determination to assemble all the right participants, no matter how long it took, is about to culminate in the best way possible. Everybody Here Wants You marks the directorial debut of Orion Williams, who previously produced Control, which was the biopic about Joy Division's Ian Curtis. There you go, Vince.
Oh, my.
You're getting your Jeff Buckley movie.
I'm kind of excited about that.
I know. I had that one just for you.
Oh, shit.
There you go. All right. Moving on to True False this week. Congrats to nobody, but it's my fault.
You made it too hard.
I thought I posted the thread, but it didn't take, thanks to Facebook. We did have one guess. It was wrong. So this one's on me. Still, nobody gets anything. The actual false story for last week, for those that want to know, was Joe Manchin saying that West Virginians did not deserve $15 an hour. That was the fake story.
Jeez, I thought that was the real one, too.
Yeah, people guessed number two, but I don't remember what that one was right now. All right. Let's start out with our three stories this week. Which is the fake story? Story number one. A man has died in southern India after his own rooster, which had been fitted with blades, punctured his groin while attempting to escape an underground cockfight.
I want that one to be real.
The man died from blood loss before he could reach a hospital.
Oh, good.
Story number two. Taking a huge step toward adding more diversity to their films, Disney announced Friday that the company's next movie will feature a princess with a never-before-seen ethnicity. The film will tell a story of a young girl who grows up in the traditions of a story culture no world has ever heard of before. Disney CEO Bob Chapek said, explaining that audiences will be introduced to this completely original ethnic group through the princess's coming-of-age story, lived among a group of people sharing a common set of traditions unexplored until now. Story number three. Work is due to start on the world's first space hotel in low Earth orbit in 2025. It will come equipped with a restaurant, cinema, spa, and rooms for 400 people. The Voyager station could be operational as early as 2027, with the infrastructure built in orbit around the Earth. Space station will be a large circle to rotate and generate artificial gravity that will be on a similar level to that of the moon. The hotel will include many of the features you might expect on a cruise ship, including themed restaurants, a health spa, and movie theater. So which is the fake story? Story number one, cock kills man with knife. Hilarious. I just love that headline. Story two, Disney princess never before seen ethnicity. Or story three, space hotel.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which is the fake story? I will put the thread up after I post the show this week. I promise.
No, you won't.
Quiet, you. So, story one, cock man, knife die. Story two, ethnic princess. Story three, space hotel. Which is the fake story? And with that, we're going to take a break, play song of the week, plug all of our friends, and when we come back, we'll be tied for our top 10 list TV miniseries.
Cause I know that time I'll only What's up, everybody? This is Handsome Dan Lopez, the smartest man not in professional wrestling, and I am the host of Handsome Dan's Final Say, the show that is guaranteed to raise your wrestling IQ. We premiere new episodes on Tuesdays on WLWstudios.com, as well as the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. When will the next episode debut? Stay tuned to my Twitter feed at Dan's Final Say or the Facebook page, facebook.com/Dan's Final Say, to make sure that you don't miss a single episode. Raise your wrestling IQ.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareen, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
For over 8 years and 450 episodes, The Shining Wizards has brought the wrestling fans the greatest guests, the most insightful discussions, and lots of laughs in talking about the world of professional wrestling. The show airs live every Monday night at 7 p.m. East on RantEMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app, and of course is available on all podcast platforms. To check us out, go over to ShiningWizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
And we are back. Time for our top 10 list this week, TV miniseries. And surprisingly, there's a certain one that did not make either of our lists.
Isn't it weird?
It is weird, and people will be shocked.
Yep.
But start us off with your number 10 there, Vince.
Shaka Zulu.
The one didn't make it, but Shaka Zulu did.
Hey, shush.
All right. It's a good one, though. My number 10 here, Battlestar Galactica.
Didn't make my list.
The miniseries that launched the reboot of the series. So
apparently the old one was pretty good, but I don't...
Yeah.
I watched bits and pieces of it, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right, number 9.
North and South.
Oh, that was a good, really good one. I like North and South.
Watch that in school.
Yep.
Well, parts of it, anyway.
My number 9 that will never be shown in schools, the Louis C.K. show / miniseries, Horace and Pete.
Yeah.
That was really well done.
He's a shithead, though, but...
Yeah.
Well, now you find out he's a shithead in real life, but that show was pretty good.
Yeah. All right, number 8.
The Beatles anthology.
That was a really good one. I did actually enjoy that, and I'm not a big... huge Beatles fan.
Yeah, but I watched the fuck out of that.
Yeah. All right. My number 8, Wolf Hall. The British... we watched... Here it was on PBS. So over there, I'm sure it was BBC, but yeah, Wolf Hall was really well done. All right, number seven.
V.
Yeah, I forgot about V. Damn it.
You forgot? How did you forget about V? I remember when that was on TV.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah.
The old one. Yeah. The update wasn't bad either.
I never watched the update.
It had Marina Backer in it.
Oh, it's got to be good then.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you need to know there.
Yeah.
Eating rats and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My number seven, it's a show called Nobel. It's about a Norwegian soldier that comes home after Afghanistan. It's on Netflix. It's really well done, and I really like that one. So, all right. Number six.
John Adams.
Higher on my list.
That's a good show.
That is fantastic. I think that was that Paul Giamatti as John Adams?
Yeah.
Probably his best job he's ever done.
Yeah.
I mean, that was back when HBO was doing really good work.
Yeah. That's a really good show.
John Adams, highly recommended. Yeah. My number six, speaking of HBO and highly acclaimed and really well done, I got Band of Brothers.
Higher on the list.
Yeah. So. All right. Number five.
Shogun.
Shogun was that was Richard Chamberlain, right?
Yeah, Richard Chamberlain, yeah.
Yeah, that was just real good. That was based off the book, and we're now getting the series, right?
Yes.
We had that story? Yeah. Five is where I have John Adams.
Nice. So.
All right, number four.
The Stand.
Oh, I forgot The Stand.
I like The Stand. I thought it was pretty good.
I did too, yeah.
The wifey and I poured through the entire miniseries in a day.
Really?
And I started getting a cough, and I was like, oh, fuck.
It was psychosomatic.
I think it was. Yeah, it's not bad. It was pretty good.
Yeah. My number, we're up to four, right?
Yeah. You know, five or four, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Numbers. Hatfields and McCoys. This was the Kevin Costner History Channel miniseries, and it is fantastic. I actually own it on DVD. That's how good of a miniseries it was. I bought it. So for me to buy something is, you know, I have to like it.
That ain't no shit.
So yeah, Hatfields and McCoys is my number four. That takes us to number three, Vince.
Apparently this is listed as a miniseries on Rotten Tomatoes, so I couldn't pass it up. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Really?
That shit is funnier than fuck.
Yeah.
It's listed as a miniseries.
I'll allow it. So
yeah, I was like, it's a miniseries? Oh, I'll put it on there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Watch it.
So yeah, that one's good. My number three, the original Lonesome Dove.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That ties into my love of Westerns and all that stuff. So,
you know what? And speaking of Westerns, or, you know, that, you know, genre or whatever, I almost had Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah.
I almost did put that on there because we had to watch that in school.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. Didn't make lists, though.
But, yeah, my number three was Lonesome Dove. All right, number two.
Celebrity.
Yeah.
Just watch it.
I remember that one. Yeah.
It's good. They kill a hooker when they're kids or younger.
Yeah.
And one of them grows up to be a fucking televangelist.
Like you do.
It's great.
Yeah. My number two, I can't remember if it's you. Excuse me, I think I'm dying. Or the Phantom that also loves this show as much as I did. It's called The Lost Room.
It had to have been him.
It had to have been him.
Because I don't remember it.
Okay, this is... Kevin Pollak, Peter Krause, I think Juliana Margulies, Elle Fanning when she was just a little girl. It was on Sci-Fi. It was a bunch of magical items, and that each one had powers. And Kevin Pollak's trying to gather ones to cure his daughter's cancer. And one of them's like a bus ticket, and you tap somebody on the head with a bus ticket, and they magically end up in the middle of the New Mexico desert. It's bizarre, but it is fantastic. I own that one on DVD too. It took me forever to find it.
The Lost Room?
Yes. Damn, has to do with all these items were in a hotel room, and something alien or something happened and gave them all powers. There's like an ink pen that stops time. Yeah, just it's a weird show, but it's really, really good. So, all right, check that one out for sure. What is your number one, Vince?
Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
What a great fucking show.
It really is. That's another one I believe I own too.
Yeah, I don't own it, but if it was on TV, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have Band of Brothers. So, yeah, that one's really good. So, my number one is a very recent miniseries, and it was Chernobyl. Probably one of the best things I've watched in the last 5-10 years.
No shit.
Yeah, it's the story of the meltdown from basically the scientist that told the Russians, hey, this is going to be horrible. Here's what's going on. It includes the meltdown and the aftermath. So, yeah, if you could find Chernobyl, buy it, watch it. It's bleak as hell at times because of subject matter, but
well, yeah,
was fantastic. It won all types of awards and shit, and rightfully so. So,
who produced it?
I want to say this was an HBO deal.
So Russia was cool about?
Oh, not well. You gotta remember, Chernobyl's down. It was in the Ukraine.
Oh yeah, I guess you're right.
At the time, it was Soviet, because Soviet owned everything around there.
Right.
But now it's Ukraine, since they broke away. But yeah, it kind of dredged up some bad Russian memories for the commies still over there. But yeah. So Chernobyl, very, very highly rated.
Damn.
Very highly recommended. So, all right. Those are ours. Let's go to some listener picks. Handsome Dan, who got put in Facebook jail for some damn reason.
What'd you do?
I don't know. He said Lonesome Dove, which I agree with completely. Elizabeth said The Starter Wife. Roboto has Pokemon Origins. This was separate from the anime. It was a four-parter. And Timeless was supposed to be an ongoing series at HBO, but they shortened it, so technically it's a mini-series. So, Chris came in with The Lost Room. See, I'm not... It, which I'm surprised didn't make your list.
It didn't.
Black Mirror, and AOC's account of her harrowing experience not being attacked by right-wing death squads on January 6th.
Oh.
I love the sense of humor sometimes. So thank you to everybody for your picks. Those are all very good. All right, you ready for listener questions, Vince?
Yeah, as ready as I'll ever be.
Because the first one here from Roboto is all for you.
God damn it.
And these are keep one, give one to a friend, or trash, video game edition. Are you ready?
Yes.
Sonic 1, 2, and 3. Keep one, give one to your friend, or trash the other?
I'll keep the first one.
Okay.
Give the second one to a friend and trash the third one.
All right. I pretty much only know Sonic 1, so I'll keep that one.
Yeah, that's where that's where I was with it. And Sonic 2 wasn't bad.
I don't remember. So
I was a Nintendo guy.
Call of Duty, Medal of Honor, Battlefield. He says keep Battlefield, give Call of Duty, trash Medal of Honor.
That's how I see it too. Battlefield, was it Battlefield 2? It was for the 360, and it was cool as shit. I mean, it was a huge fucking map. You can get into planes and cars and shit, and
really?
Yeah, that was a cool game.
Okay. So you agree with him on that one?
Yeah, I totally do.
Okay. Halo, Metroid Prime, Killzone. He says, keep Halo, give Metroid Prime, trash Killzone.
That's about the way I see it, too. We got the same taste in games.
That's true.
I liked Metroid Prime, but I think I've got it. On that, but with that logic, everyone should play it. How about that?
There you go. All right. Grand Theft Auto, Driver, Saints Row.
I'll get rid of Driver. I'll give Saints Row to somebody and keep GTA.
You agree completely with Roboto.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I just finished Saints Row 4 the other day.
Driver was glitchy. I remember playing that, and it was glitchy at places.
Yeah. Saints Row's hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Last one here is the Mario one. Mario 3, Mario World, Mario 64.
I'm keeping Mario 3.
Yes.
I'll get rid of Mario World. I'll give Mario World to somebody and toss Mario 64.
I agree.
It's heresy.
Mario 3 or Mario World was the map with Yoshi, right?
Yes.
Or was that Yoshi's Island?
Hell, I can't remember.
I don't remember. I agree with Vince. All right. Moving on to our next question comes from Handsome Dan before he got put in Facebook jail.
What the fuck do you do?
I probably said something that pissed off a liberal.
He can't.
He's, well, I should have played the brown card, Lopez. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing, buddy?
Zuckerberg's wider than a sheet of paper, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't people consider The Rock black? I don't want to make any assumptions, but it might have something to do with the lightness of his skin or perhaps the fact that he doesn't behave a certain way in order to flaunt his blackness. I mean, his dad is black. His last name is Johnson. Only last name blacker than that is Jefferson. My God, the irony. I think it's more because he has promoted more of his Samoan side. Like, he's proud of his dad and all that, but anytime you see him talking about family, it's usually the Samoan side. So when people, and they always, you know, like Roman, like Tamina, Naya, we all know they're Samoan, and they always say, well, look, they're related to The Rock. So that in people's heads, they go, oh, he's Samoan only type of thing.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, we're from the generation that doesn't see color.
Right.
That's not... And now it's coming back around where you have to, and I don't like that one bit.
No, I don't either. But my guess is that's why, is because he pretty much promotes the Samoan side more than the black side. So, all right. Next question here from Elizabeth. This might be a long shot. How would the NWO, just Hall, Nash, and Hogan, have fared in ECW? Old ECW, it would have just been constantly shit on, especially Hogan. Like, not like boo the bad guy type of thing, like boo, we're gonna stab you because we don't like you. So there's that answer.
That's all right. Answer.
Next comes from Chris. Now that lockdowns are being lifted, imagine if you upended, oh my God, Chris. All right. Imagine if you upended a watermelon onto its side so that it was standing up lengthwise and carved a face jack-o'-lantern style just on the bottom third of it. You'd have a much better thing than the handwritten poster board signs for Sasha Banks fans to wave around at WWE events. So my question is, that's a long preamble.
Why's he got pink on Sasha?
It's probably the forehead, five-head. My question is, do you think having such a massive, oblong, cone-headian, towering, monolithic, skyscraping, looming, imposing, ponderous, visible from space, watch out for overpasses, huge, ungodly, disgusting cranium, is actually an advantage in pro wrestling? Only if your finishing move is the headbutt.
I think she's lovely.
I know you do. Like, the counterweight of being so top-heavy probably helps out with flips and such, right? God dang.
I don't know where all this hate's coming from.
I don't either, but man, her finisher should be the five-head. Just thunk, and just knock him out.
I don't want to hear it.
His follow-up question, do you think the LED lights in the shoes were an attempt to distract from the ugly five-head? That's the wrong girl, Chris. You're thinking of Naomi, not... Naomi's the one with the big ass. Sasha's got the big head.
Naomi who?
She's just called Naomi. She's married to one of the Usos.
I'm interested in seeing who this Naomi character is now. She's like, oh, big ass. Oh. Oh, my.
Hold on.
Type.
Talk to the people for a second, Vince.
So, this one time at band camp,
Everybody get ready for Vince's reaction to Naomi. Three, two, one.
Oh my! Okay, I'm kind of into that. I'm already that.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Chris's next question here. Greatest all-time urban hero of the night. Batman, Moon Knight, Daredevil, the Coon. Now, the Coon is not racist. It was actually from South Park. So I am putting that in there. Urban hero of the night. It's got to be Batman out of those. Because Moon Knight's legitimately schizophrenic. Daredevil's blind. The Coon was Cartman. Yeah. Of course it was Cartman.
Fucking Cartman.
So, yeah, Batman has to win that one. His next question here. People often point out, and rightfully in my opinion, that the MCU has a villain problem and that they've had a very hard time fielding many interesting antagonists. MCU? I think he means DCU here. Okay. So my question is, between Steppenwolf, the lamest take on Zod ever, Juggalo Joker, and Mando Trump, why doesn't anyone ever see DC has a villain problem? It's like when you see a white kid working at McDonald's, you think he's a loser, but when you see a black kid working at McDonald's, you're like, hey, good for him, that's great. What has been the last good villain in comic book movies, Marvel or DC?
The last good villain?
Loki. Probably Loki. Marvel-wise, I would say your last good villain was either Loki or Ultron.
What about DC? Apocalypse?
Well, I'm going movies. Oh, yeah. Apocalypse.
Yeah.
If you count the X-Men movies, yeah, I would say Apocalypse. I think the problem with villains is they always cast the big names as the heroes. You know what I mean? If you had a major A-list great acting talent as your villain, and you did the villain accurate to your source material, that's a big part of it too. Like, cast Willem Dafoe as the Joker and make it the Killing Joke.
God, you know, damn. They'd never do the Killing Joke.
I know. That's my example. And if you do it comic book accurately with the way Dafoe acts as the Joker, holy Christ. Okay, let's go Heath Ledger as Joker. Because he did fantastic. For his one movie. Until, you know, one of the Olsen twins killed him, allegedly.
Which
Mary-Kate or Ashley, flip a coin. Whichever one gave him the drugs he OD'd on, allegedly.
No shit.
I think so. I could be wrong on that. That's why I said allegedly. We have a lawyer. It's okay. DC. Let's see. So that would be DC. It just make them comic accurate with good talent. That's all you really got to do to fix it. And there's a ton of villains out there that you could do it with. Like, I think if they do Keanu Reeves as Kraven the Hunter, would be awesome for Spider-Man. You know? He can do the accent. We've all watched John Wick. We know he does guns. We know he's a decent actor. Keep it comic accurate, and you got a great villain. So.
Yeah, but that's the problem. They don't keep it comic accurate.
Right, because you have to appeal to... And then, what they consider mainstream audiences who don't know stories.
And then it depends on if it's Marvel or whether it's DC too.
Right.
Because Disney's not going to give a fuck. They're just going to churn it out.
Right. And so is DC now, because they're owned by AT&T.
I mean, look at that stupid bitch who said that she didn't have anything to work with any backstory for the Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have any content or anything.
You had 25 years of extended universe.
Yeah, you've had the fucking books forever, bitch. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a crapshoot.
And you know what took to save Star Wars? Fans running it.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot on whether you're going to get anything decent at all, regardless of who's doing it at this point.
Right. It took literal fans that loved the source material and did it accurately.
Yeah.
Filoni and Favreau. So... there you go.
And then they're getting the shit. So
yeah.
I don't have high hopes for nothing anymore, because it's...
No. Yeah. The best Marvel movie I have ever seen was a fan film. Look up Punisher Dirty Laundry on YouTube. It's Thomas Jane back as Punisher. It's awesome. It's like 5-8 minutes long. It's the best Marvel movie there is.
I saw a fan film of a young Casey Jones.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking
from,
about?
From Ninja Turtles. I saw that one. Yes,
oh
I did.
Oh my God, it's so fucking good.
That one's really good too. Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So it can be done.
It can be.
But... will it be done by the major studio? Probably not.
Fuck no.
All right, Chris's next question here. Who wins and how? The gopher from Caddyshack or Rocket Raccoon? Bonus, then they have to fight Carl Spackler.
The gopher.
Yeah, the gopher's indestructible. Rocket's died a couple times in the comics. He just gets shot. And then you have the gopher versus Carl. And we know who wins that one.
Yeah, fucking gopher.
Kenny Loggins. That's who wins that
That's
one.
Who won.
That's who won.
Kenny Loggins won, okay, in the long run.
And he's all right.
Oh, my God.
Don't nobody have to worry about him. All right. Chris's next thing here, I believe it's a poem.
Oh, you got poetry now?
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stays poor. The rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking. Everyone knows the captain lied. Everyone's got this broken feeling like their father or dog just died. Will you sign my petition to recognize Leonard Cohen's Everybody Knows as the official anthem of the Democratic Party? I didn't read this earlier.
Could you imagine?
Damn, that's good.
Leonard Cohen.
Yeah. He'll allow it. That's fantastic. All right. Next question here from Twitter. So I just finished watching WandaVision. Not sure if you guys have seen it, but my question is, what is the book that Wanda is reading in the bonus scene during the end credits? Okay, I have not watched WandaVision, but I did look up this clip. I know you haven't seen it all, right, Vince?
Dude, come on.
All right. It is the Book of the Darkhold. What that comic book short version, demonic spell book. It's all the evil magic contained in this book. It was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It ended up being given to Ghost Rider, and he disappeared with the book. Now the book has shown up in WandaVision, and Wanda is reading out of the book, going full evil Scarlet Witch type stuff. That's how WandaVision ended. So, yeah, but yes, the book is the Book of the Darkhold. So,
she got the old Scarlet Witch costume?
Outfit, yeah. They just, it's kind of leathery and a little darker than comic book, but yeah, it's pretty damn close.
That's cool.
Very Magneto-like.
So what you're saying is fucking Ghost Rider's coming back?
He was supposed to come back for Hulu series, and that got canned, but Kevin Feige, the guy that runs Marvel now, says that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all the Netflix shows, are all part of the same universe. So technically, yes. It is open to it. We just need Nicolas Cage.
Do we?
Yes, we do. He's got the damn tattoo of him.
He's a huge fan of Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider, yeah. Next question from Twitter. Please tell me you guys... I hope you saw this, Vince. It's fantastic. Please tell me you guys saw where Biden was giving a speech or something and said that he would be happy to take questions if that is what he was supposed to do. And then the White House instantly cut the video feed.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this? They do not want him speaking.
It was a hostile takeover.
Literally.
This is full on banana republic at this point. This is not.
He does not know what he's doing. Somebody's telling him what to say, where to stand. He's literally, we make all the jokes all the time. He's a puppet. He's Jeff Dunham's, you know, Walter, the old puppet. That's literally what Biden is now. She's not supposed to, that's why they've pushed back State of the Union, because they know he couldn't give a speech longer than 5 minutes without it becoming very apparent that he has cognitive decline and the dementia.
did you see Oregon?
I have seen Oregon.
They're trying to be absorbed into Idaho.
Yes, I saw that. Be part of Greater Idaho. Yes. There is also Northern California is trying to become the state of Jefferson. That's been in the works for over a decade now. And there is a plan for the state of Appalachia, which would split Virginia in two, into an east and west. You have your Richmond coastal area, and then you have your Western Virginia, Appalachia as its own state. Yeah, there's a lot of things out there. People are just pissed and want to be left alone.
Didn't we say something about balkanization?
Yep.
I hate being right all the time.
Yeah. All right. Last question of the week, also from Twitter. I have read that March is National Area Study Month. What is an area study? You want to take this one or me?
I have no idea. What is it?
Oh, okay. I guess I'm taking it.
You're taking it.
Area study is basically, simple way to word it is, find out who your neighbors are, kind of what they think about certain things for when if stuff goes bad, where certain threats could come from.
Oh, no shit.
That makes sense to people?
Well, that's
basically
nice.
It's being aware of your surroundings and what your neighbors think and that type of stuff.
I've already done that.
Yes. smart people have.
I've already done that.
But yeah, so that's basically what an area study is. Know your roads. You know, if you have to evacuate, say there's a flood or something, what, you know, not your main routes, but your secondary, your tertiary type of routes like that.
That's so, yeah. Lovely.
Yep. All right, let's go to the COVID update, which I am renaming the Cuomo update.
Oh, my.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's top advisors successfully intervened in publishing state health officials scrub a public report showing that by July 2020, nearly 10,000 New York nursing home residents had died in the pandemic. This came out in a report in the Wall Street Journal late Thursday night. At the urging of Cuomo and advisors, the report excluded nursing home residents who later died in hospitals after becoming sick in long-term facilities, resulting in a significant undercounting of death toll attributed to the state's most vulnerable population. The health department resisted calls by state and federal lawmakers, media outlets, and others to release the full data for another 8 months. State officials now say more than 15,000 nursing home residents and other long-term care facilities were confirmed or presumed to have died from COVID since March of last year, counting both those who died in long-term care facilities and those who died later in hospitals. That figure is 50% higher than what the Cuomo people said earlier. Also this week, the Cuomo came out and said he was sorry for his actions that have been accused by women of saying so sexual harassment, but said he has no plans of resigning from governor. We are now up to 5 women who have come forward with allegations against him.
Well, didn't some lady say, well, we're going to wait for like 3 or 4 or 4 or 5 people to come out before we...
Yeah. And now we've hit 5, so yeah. But yeah.
Keep it classy.
Literally 5,000 extra people, New York Cuomo lied about dying in nursing homes.
Dude, that's fucked up.
I want to run some numbers here.
Are you going to do math?
I'm going to try because, you know, numbers are fuzzy to me. Okay, let's round up. Let's say 3,000 people died 9/11. Cuomo's killed 3 times that, underreporting, sticking sick people in nursing homes. I just want to put that out there. Yeah. All right, let's go to Did You See the Stories this week?
I got nothing, man.
I do, but it ain't going to be said over broadcasting.
But Trump had the boat. He had the ships out there.
Yeah.
And they weren't used. In fact, it was a big joke to everybody.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Blame it on Trump. All these deaths are Trump's fault, right? All right. Going on to did you see the stories this week? House Democrats officially harnessing the force of federal government in an attempt to bully cable carriers and big tech platforms into banning conservative or right-leaning TV networks and publications from their platforms. In a letter to the CEOs of AT&T, Hulu, Alphabet, which is Google, Altice USA, Cox Communications, Dish Network, Charter Communications, Comcast, Apple, Amazon, Roku, Democratic Congressman Jerry McNerney and Anna Esho, essentially demanding contracts with right-leaning outlets be terminated and therefore deplatformed. What networks, you ask? Blaze, Fox News, Newsmax, OAN, anything that goes against the Democratic Party narrative they want off the air. But then they will turn around and come and bitch about their freedom of speech. It's getting worse.
I figure just cancel your shit.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that's probably the easiest way to do it. Vote with your fucking money.
Well, they're going to be propped up with government money. They don't care.
Yeah, but how long is that going to last?
State-sponsored media? It's lasted in China for about 70 years. You know? Eventually, we're going to get to where there's one media network. And that is whatever the state says. That's the, that will be the peak. All right, next story here is pretty much as dumb as bag of hammers. A Catholic university in Kentucky recently launched a new certification program in anti-racism. Spalding University's Restorative Practices for the Anti-Racist Journey, a series of half and full-day online courses for individuals and groups from public sector, corporate, and nonprofit organizations. The courses will teach the concepts of cultural humility and restorative practices as a means to bring about positive social change. This is a college in Louisville, by the way. Upon completions, participants in Restorative Practices for the Anti-Racist Journey will be awarded three tiers of certification badges. Badges. Bronze, silver, not gold, but ebony.
Shut the fuck up.
That's legit. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah, that's where we're at now.
Wow.
I got an ebony badge. I'm not rated. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nope, I'm not taking that class.
Yeah, I think you might fail that, sir.
I'm not going to get a badge at all.
No. I ain't getting a badge. I ain't getting a shot. Oh, let's talk about some Dr. Seuss. Some Dr. Seuss titles have had their value take off online after it was announced that they would no longer be published. Dr. Seuss Enterprise, the business in charge of preserving and protecting, well, there you go with that one, the legendary author's legacy, announced on Tuesday it will stop selling six books. If I Ran the Zoo, and To Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, McElligot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, and The Cat's Quizzer. The announcement came as progressive activists have targeted Seuss on the grounds that some of his books are racially insensitive. Seuss aficionados looking to pick up copies of the canceled books, though, might double take at the price tag. They're going for hundreds and even thousands of dollars. One hardback copy of And To Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street is going for $10,000 on Amazon. Another copy of the book was going for $4,400 on eBay. Paperback has a similar, as The Cat's Quizzer is going for $1,000 on Amazon. Hardcover on the same site is almost $2,000. Well, you used to be able to find them on eBay. Seller Adam Townsend posted a screenshot from an eBay listing showing that sales of the books have been suspended because they violate the company's offensive materials policy, saying listings that promote or glorify hatred, violence, or discrimination are not allowed. As a courtesy, we have ended your item, refunded your selling fees, and as long as you do not relist the item, there will be no negative impact on your account. So eBay considers Dr. Seuss books, say they promote, glorify hatred, violence, and discrimination.
I don't get it. It's a complete Streisand effect.
Yeah. We're literally at Fahrenheit 451.
Like, nobody gave a fuck about goddamn Dr. Seuss.
He was there. It was for the kids. And then, it's something we can make a fuss and... Because it's not like we have jobs to go to or...
I love how you're making people hate you even more.
Yes.
Like before, nobody gave a fuck. You know, you live your life, I live mine. But now people are looking at demographics and numbers and crime statistics and all this other shit. And they're like, wait, maybe you are the shitheads.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny?
It's... Come on, Comet. That's all I got to say.
Ain't no shit.
All right, crank up the honkler, Vince. Clown World strikes again. Several orangutans and bonobos at the San Diego Zoo have received a COVID vaccine developed specifically for animals. Over the last 2 months, several great apes at the zoo that are at the most risk and can be easily vaccinated received 2 doses of each of the vaccine. They marked the first non-human primates to get the shot. So now we're vaccinating the animals from the flu. Okay.
I got nothing, man. I got nothing witty to say about that. It's a cold. It's a coronavirus.
Right. Yeah, it's a cold.
That no one's ever got.
Genetically modified cold, but it's
that cool. Ain't no shit.
Yeah. Vince, we don't usually cover sports anymore, but this was posted, and I just wanted to read it for your reaction.
No, this is some bullshit. I thought no more sports.
Washington Redskins, well, they're not Redskins anymore. They're the Washington football team, which is bullshit. They're still the Redskins, are replacing their cheerleading team, Vince.
I don't know. Why?
It will be replaced with a co-ed dance team.
I don't care.
Former Laker girl Petra Pope was hired Wednesday as an advisor to use her 3+ decades of NBA experience to revamp the group. I've been asked to create a more modern entertainment team that is inclusive and diverse. We just want to follow that mode of being more modern with a more modern franchise. Change is difficult, but I do feel the fans will love what we bring to the table.
People still watch football?
Ratings are a little down, but yes. Yeah, we got to get rid of the cheerleader so we can have the black trans dreaded thing shaking on the sideline.
I don't.
Because that's what the fans want to see.
That's what the fans want. Nobody's watching that shit anymore.
Yeah, that's... Yep. All right, last story of the week, Vince. This is something. We're trying to end on a funny note here. Peanut butter purists have called for Reese's and answered. Reese's has answered, sorry. Reese's latest iteration of its wildly popular peanut butter cup will be all peanut butter, no chocolate. Hershey announced this on Monday. Reese's Ultimate Peanut Butter Lover's Cup is made entirely of peanut butter, both inside and in the peanut butter candy-flavored outer shell. First time in the company's 90-year history that its peanut butter cups will have no chocolate.
Well, it's not necessarily a peanut butter cup then, is it?
Nope. Isn't that what makes a Reese's is the chocolate peanut butter combo?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, nope, peanut butter. That's what we need to do. Got to get that nobody asked for this market. So yeah, now peanut butter cups are just all peanut butter. No cup chocolate. Final thoughts. It's clown world.
Keep your stick on the ice, I guess. If the women don't find you handsome, fuck them. I don't know.
If you can't take the high ground, just shoot up. Just shoot up at them. They'll never expect it. just think if Obi-Wan had said, "I have the high ground, Anakin," and he just shot him with a blaster from down below. That, you know how good that ending that would have been?
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And hopefully we will be back next week.
No.
We will not be back next week. We will be back in 2 weeks.
Yes.
We are taking next week off.
Yes, we are.
All right. Talk to everybody in 2 weeks.
Bye.